How many of y'all excited about the blood of Jesus? You know it works. It absolutely works. Well, guys, I'm going to tell you, it's time to let it loose. Man, I'm excited that 565 people now have confessed their faith in baptism. And you know what? We're praying for this, and I need some of you prayer folks to get on it, man. We're praying that the Lord would connect 100 souls in baptism at God's dock. And you say, Pastor Steve, that's crazy. It was 3,000 on the day the church opened. 3,000 in Jerusalem on the day the church opened. And the population was a lot thinner then than it is now. And so, man, I pray that God will just continue to release His Spirit, that people will be drawn and people will receive what God is doing. Does that make sense? Joe, does that make sense? That people will receive what God is doing. And so today, I'm just going to ask you to receive the message. Receive the truth that God is expressing to us, all right? How many of y'all believe this? Sometimes God calls us to do things that don't make sense at the moment. How many of y'all have ever had those experiences in life? You had to do something that didn't make sense at the moment, and then later on, it was revealed to you the importance of it. Yeah? It's called school. You know, it was amazing to me when I think about all that. I saw some of the moms today. Bless y'all's heart. I got y'all lifted up in prayer. I remember what that looked like in my house. And you've taken that child to the university. First of all, the reason we parents don't like taking y'all to the university is this. It's a sign that we're getting old. Because we can remember when we were in college. You know, and we drop them off at the university. And now, and it doesn't make sense at times. Nathan, I remember for you, when they dropped you off at the university, and now you've been dropped through a master's degree and on your way to your PhD. I'm telling you, man, God does things that don't make sense till later on. And so guess what we have to learn how to live with? If we're going to follow Jesus Christ, we have to learn how to live in the mystery of the now. Sometimes God just says, go. He says, go and tell the world about Jesus. You say, well, Lord, nobody wants to listen. Well, how do you know? How many of y'all glad somebody might hear even if you think they won't? You never know what God's going to do in your life. And this is the wonderful thing about living with God. Go with me to the second chapter of the Gospel of John, and we're going to complete this August preaching series. First of all, how many of you come to realize this? Everybody's got something. 5, 2, 1. God gave everybody something and He expects us to use it. He gave everybody something and He expects us to use it. And we've learned this. You got to be who you are. You got to live life. You got to fight the battles with the design that God made you. Don't wear somebody else's armor. Fight, live, be who God made you to be. That's pretty neat, isn't it? And the third thing, remember, we are called to multiply. Multiply. Reverend Crabtree, you missed this one, but it's about multiplication. It's not about addition. God says 30, 60, even 100 times. How many of y'all glad to know that God will make us better than we were originally made? He recreates us in grace. Grace is not just I get saved and I go to heaven. It's that my life becomes different. My attitude's different. My perspective's different. My goals are different because Jesus is coming in my life. And today we're going to see this. God calls us to do some things that don't make sense that lead to great blessing. God calls us to do some things that don't make sense that lead to great blessing. I want to start with this one. For those of you all who are married, stay that way. You say, well, I'll tell you what, preacher, you don't know I don't like her. I've not liked mine either. Stay. Here's what I found. If you stay long enough, eventually it gets good. Somebody need to hear that word today. If you stay long enough, eventually it gets what? I like Elizabeth now. It's taken 29 years. I don't know if she likes me yet. Maybe another 29 on that. But guess what? We're going to stay till it works. We're going to stay till we see it. We're going to stay with it till God makes it happen. That's called faith. Staying in there. Now, church, I hope we eliminate some of these things. Some of you freshmen, Travis, you're fixing to go study again. Now, listen, I want to make sure God has called you and I in Christ to be accomplished. That means this, to leave a trail of His presence where we've been. Does that make sense? And so here's what I want you to know, man. Be ready to do it even when it doesn't feel good. Be ready to stay with God even when it feels good. Stay with Christ no matter what. Let God come through. If you don't mind, just look at your neighbor and just say, I'm going to let him come through. I'm going to let him come through. Come on, pass that down. I'm going to let him come through, man. I'm like, come on. Y'all talk among yourselves. Now look at this. Y'all need to laugh. Oh, by the way, visitors are here today. We're at Hillview. Welcome to an interactive congregation. If you would like to go to church and sit and stare, we provide about 139 opportunities in the county for you to go do that. It'll be done in 60 minutes. But here, man, I want you to get it. I want you to get Christ so involved in your life that somebody else would catch Jesus from you, that you would get it. Now, the second chapter of the Gospel of John is a beautiful story of what Jesus does. First of all, we get some headlines as we launch a fall season. Kind of exciting. High school football started. Some of you have been blessed. Some of us are in deep prayer. Next week is going to be, a great moment as we watch the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers take down the UK Wildcats by at least 2 touchdowns next week. And that's my prediction. And I'm sticking to it. We're going to be there. How many of y'all going to go tailgate? Some of y'all are lying. How many of y'all bringing the kegs to the tailgate? I know you ain't going to raise your hand on that one, all right? But yeah, you're going to be tailgating. We're going to be involved. There's these moments we're with people. Now, I want to show you something right here. God, Jesus, when he was here on earth, he was invited to hang out with people. And his disciples were invited to hang out with people. Now, here's what. I want you all to reevaluate and just ask God, God, so live in me that people would want to invite me to be around them. Now, I don't know about y'all. How many of y'all like to, man, this is going to be awful. I'm trying to, Lord, help me say it where I'm not so offensive. Most of the time, people don't want to invite church people over to their house. Have y'all found that out? Why? I don't like them. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I don't like church people. No, I don't like church people. And I love Jesus people. I never have liked church people because guess what church people do? They come into a situation and they find everything is wrong right off the bat. Have y'all noticed that? How many of y'all love to be around people going, I can't believe she didn't dust that. I can't believe that light looks like that. I believe she put, y'all ever been around somebody like that? If you are that person, repent in the name of Jesus. Okay, but what I'm saying is, man, but Jesus was invited. He was at a wedding. This takes place at a wedding. How many of y'all have ever been to a wedding? How many of y'all men like going to weddings? Okay, cool. I just want to set this in motion here. How many of you all ladies love going to weddings? Come on, be honest. Yeah. How many of you, like women like weddings. Why? And this story preaches a whole lot different to me. About a year and a half ago, a little longer than that, we went through the wedding of our son, and I had done weddings all my life, but I'd never done one up close and personal. You know what I mean? That it involved my checkbook. And so we're having this wedding, you know, and I'm like, wow. And people get mad at weddings. It's amazing. Like if the flowers wilt, people be going crazy. And you know who you have to watch out at weddings? I'm giving y'all a heads up. Women, they will hurt you at a wedding. The mother of the bride is the most dangerous thing at a wedding. Because if it don't go right, she will hurt you. And as a pastor, I get real nervous doing weddings. Funerals aren't too bad. Nobody can say anything. Everybody's quiet. But, I mean, weddings is bad. Because, man, if you don't do as the pastor what the mother of the bride wants, she will break out kung fu fighting on you. They'll hurt you. Even your wife, who you thought was really a nice person at the wedding of their children, is possessed with an attitude you've never seen before. Weddings are tense, amen? And there's some of y'all been through them. Okay, that's why I say, only be married one time. Going through the wedding is not worth the hassle the second time, okay? I mean, it's a one-time adventure. And then it starts this life, but there's this celebration. Well, we pick up on Jesus. He's being invited to a wedding. Now, I think Jesus is pretty smart. He didn't go to ceremony. He went to reception. I wish I could do that. I just say, hey, can y'all imagine if I did that as a pastor? just showed up at the reception. You go, where were you at the wedding, man? I'm acting like Jesus. He just comes to the dance. And he's at a celebration. Now, for some of you religious people, it's going to be very difficult because I'm in the Bible, and the Bible doesn't agree with how you see Jesus. And it disturbs you sometimes when you find out that Jesus was not from South Central Kentucky, when you find out that he was not a white boy from the country, when you find out that he is Jewish, and when you find out that he was not Church of Christ or Baptist. This greatly disturbs you. You know, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God, and he's invited to the wedding. Now, I want to start there. Live a life so full of Christ that somebody wants to invite you into an everyday happening. I want you to know that Jesus went to everyday stuff. Now, think about this. Jesus comes into the world, and religious people spend all the time trying to get out of the world. I tell all my religious friends, what are you scared of? Why do you got to put Christian on the label of everything? Jesus never put Christian on the label of anything. He was. He was God in the world. Let me run it by you again. He was God in the world. And you and I need to take on that persona a little bit better. Wait a minute. I'm a follower of Christ. Where? In the everyday. So dads, as you raise kids, moms, as you raise kids, as you do life, as you go to school, in the morning, it's going to be hustle and bustle, isn't it? Going to be orange cheese wagons flowing around the county, carrying kids to their educational opportunity. There's going to be moms and dads headed to work. There's going to be busyness. And there's going to be a few of you that have the day off tomorrow. And you're just going to observe everybody being busy. But guess what? It's life. And Jesus comes into everyday life. That's why you ought to receive him. Well, he's invited to this wedding. Apparently, the families know each other. And then it's an intense moment. It's an intense moment at the wedding. Look what happens. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there and Jesus' disciples. They had also been invited to the wedding. They had been what? Invited. Guys, here's our motion in this church. We want to invite you to receive the life that Christ has given us. Be invited to the everyday things of life. That's going to be cool. I mean, we're going to go to ball games. I saw many of you at the ball game on Friday night. I have the privilege of watching young men get better. I have the privilege of watching competition on Friday nights in the South. That's a cool game. But you know what? I have the privilege of inviting people to who? Jesus. You know, I love it when our players do cool stuff, but I love it more when our players say, hey, coach, heirs, pastor, reverend, I've invited Jesus Christ in my life. My sins are forgiven. Man, I want to go to heaven. Then I know they got something that's going to last past high school. Does that make sense? We all got different things we do, but we need to be invited. And Jesus and his disciples, they had been invited to the wedding. Now, when the wine was gone, uh-oh, we got a problem. What is gone? The wine is gone. Now, please, folks, listen. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on whether this was wine or grape juice because it was wine, period. Get over it. Okay, I want you to learn the scripture. I am so tired of living in the South where the total context of Jesus Christ is a beer or a glass of wine. Okay, and it's time that you all hear a pastor call it out. That is stupidness. And we have sent many people away from the gospel over stupidness. If you drink too much wine or you're an alcoholic, stay away from it. But quit judging people and based on a substance and start showing them that their sin can be forgiven and God can recreate them forever and ever. Amen. Am I clear on the issue? Okay. I'm sorry to get riled up. But I just want you to know that I've traveled the world and nobody has this issue but about four southern states in the whole entire globe. I go to Israel, they don't know what we're talking about. That happens to be the motherland of where it all started. You see, Jesus was Jewish, and Jews have wine at their wedding. Ain't no grape juice. Ain't the first sign of grape juice. Because they having a party. Maybe that's why they stay married longer. I mean, if you start out with grape juice, you sour later. You know what I mean? You start out with wine, maybe you continue this celebration. Wine is a drink of what? It's metaphorical, a drink of celebration, a drink of life. I am the new wine. I am the new celebration. I am the new life. When you dumb it down to grape juice, you miss God's experience. You know, I've always said that Baptists are perfect for grape juice. They won't accept God unless it's sweet. And they would rather have their tongue covered than their life changed. Wine will change your perspective. I know none of y'all have had that situation, but now if you worship with several moments of wine, you will see things differently. If you really breathe in Jesus Christ, you will see things what? Differently. If you just drink a bunch of grape juice, all you're going to do is get a soured stomach. Doesn't change the way you see life. Jesus changed the way we see life. Well, this wine's serious because now wine indicated the wealth of the family. You know what it does today. I mean, if you're screwing tops off, that ain't, you know. A Boone's Farm wedding is different than a tight cork wedding. Amen? I mean, if you're down there and they're singing Strawberry Wine, you had a redneck wedding, okay? You know, if they're pronouncing some French name that you can't pronounce, you know, this is a Bourgogne Moulin, and the name of the wine's that long, you got some expensive stuff. You know, so Sheriff, you're putting on the Ritz, you don't want to bring out the strawberry and the peach, you know what I mean? Now, you know you're rare country when Granny brings it out and says, this is plum wine that I made in the basement. We got a lot of Baptist women that pray and make wine in the basement, okay? For medicinal purposes. Yeah, Granny, this special recipe. It's in Kentucky, too, okay? Yeah. People always ask me, what's the difference between the Catholics and the Baptists? I said, one of them is Baptists will not drink in public. Catholics will. You see what I'm saying? But this is a public deal. This is an invited moment. This is a wedding. And if you run out of wine, come on, who's that look bad on? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. There ain't a man except Jesus involved in this story. Note to all you theologians. It's interesting to me. Where's the daddies? The same place they all are at a wedding. Praying that they are not bankrupt at the end of this situation. Now, check this out. Here comes Jesus' mom. Jesus' mom comes to Jesus. And apparently, Jesus' mom's friends are the mother that's the host of the wedding. And she says, when Jesus, your mom just comes up to him. She says, Jesus, they don't have any more wine. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother, she came up to Jesus. And she said, they don't have any more wine. Like, Jesus can't figure that out. But who's helping him? And why is mama helping him? Because he probably friends with the other mama, and they don't have a mama embarrassment, and the wine is out, and she's going, hey, they're out of wine. Now, men, here's what I want you to know. Please, follow Jesus except in this moment. Never respond or make the response to your mama or your wife that Jesus just makes to his mama. Watch what he says. Woman, why do you involve me? You do that, you're going to get tossed out of the house. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. I want to tell you why Mary involved Jesus, because she knew who he was. And I want to suggest to us that we need to involve him a lot more. One of the least things we do is involve him. Jesus, I've run out of life. I need to involve you at the hospital. Guess who ought to be the first invoked instead of the last invoked? Jesus. And when they diagnose me with something they can't cure, I want to call on the name of Jesus because we've run out of wine. I hate it when doctors say this. Well, all we can do now is pray. I said, that's all I was doing before. Because I went to school with you. All I can do. No. Thank God I get to pray. Jesus, they've run out of wine. His mama says, woman, why do you involve me? Why do you involve me? You know why she involved him? He was the solution to the situation. Now, how many of y'all got Jesus as a solution to the situation? See, a lot of times we try to cure our own situation, don't we? We go, I'm going to what? Now, come on, mamas, I ain't picking on you. I'm just making an observation. You mamas are in the fixing business a whole lot. Who's trying to fix this situation? Ain't dad. Dad's out of there. He going, we run out of wine. Thank God I ain't buying no more. Dads are notoriously cheap. How many of you dads are notoriously cheap? I am. If we'd have run out of wine, I said, it's all gone, folks, go home. We're done here. It's just a wedding. They happen every day. Get out of here. It's enough. Ron, you've just been through one of these things, right? Whew. Well, since you Baptists, when they ran out of grape juice, it got tight, didn't it? He said, and you had to look, Y'all stay out of that Kroger now. I've spent all I'm going to spend. I'll be going down to Kroger getting extra grape juice. Bring your own Melayeli in here and drink it. Don't be drinking my grape juice. They out of wine, and it looks bad on the family. You see what I'm saying? Mama embarrassed. You embarrassed Mama, something going to happen. Guess what Jesus said? Why do you involve me? And Mama didn't listen to him. She said, Jesus, I know who you are. You're my boy. You're the Son of God. I know what you're supposed to be about. It's the third day, and you're supposed to show these. Jesus, here's all I'm telling you. He looks at the servants. Look at this. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Do what he tells you. Now, who did she talk to? Now, watch. She didn't go get any executives. She didn't go get any executives. Why? She didn't get to Mater D. She didn't get the wedding coordinator. She didn't get J-Lo walking around with a microphone doing a wedding deal. Didn't get the wedding planner. Who did she talk to? You know why? Servants get stuff done. Executives think about what to do. Servants go do it. God calls us servants. Most of us want to be what? We want to be executives. We want to help God out. Well, God, I don't know. What kind of wine you want? He didn't ask all those questions. He just told the servants, go do whatever he tells you. Hold, stop, listen. This week, do what he tells you and see what happens to your week. God's told you to be loving. Go be loving. God's told you to be at peace. Well, then be at peace. Do whatever he says that he tells you. Now, watch this. Here's where it gets ridiculous. What are they out of? What do they need? What's the problem? Same answer. Come on. Good. Y'all are doing great. They're out of wine. Now watch what Jesus tells them to do. He looks at the servants and he says, there were water jars standing by, and these were cleansing jars that they used for ceremonial cleansing to make things clean. And these jars stood by, and he said, I tell you what. He said, go take those big old jars, 20 to 30 gallons. They're heavy. It's going to take some work. Go and fill them up with what? Water. I don't know about y'all, but we need wine, and Jesus be getting water. That doesn't make what? But you got to do what he tells you. The reason I understand this text is Hillview Heights Church doesn't make sense. God told me to come here. I said, what? Water into wine. And now we get to enjoy the wine, but don't ever forget, it came from water. Don't ever forget, it came from Jesus' touch. Does that make sense? Don't ever forget, you came from a touch of Jesus. You and I don't make sense without Jesus. We don't turn into a celebration without who? Jesus, because we will always run out of wine. Always, Timmy. We're always out. How many of y'all have done that before? We're out. I'm out. It's out. It's what? Out. Guess what God says? He calls us in when we're out. He sends us for water when we need wine, because he knows his touch is greater than our observation. The servants, guess what they do? I want to tell you, it's amazing what happens when we just go do what Jesus asked us to do. And guess what? They went and did what Jesus asked them to do. They filled up the jars of water, and they bring them back, and the maitre d's there. Then he told them, now draw some of the water out and take it to the master of the banquet. Now, this is scary, because guess what? The master of the banquet hires who? Servants. Now, you talking with me. He hires the servants. Now, they're out of wine, and he goes to the master of the ceremony that's running the thing with a glass of water. What's that called, Chris Allen? What's that called? Faith. All right, they ask for wine. I'm taking them water. I'm trusting who? Jesus. How many of y'all ever feel like you're bringing water to a wine festival? You know what I mean? You're like, man, I don't have a lot. But hold on. What you have, what you are and who you are touched by Jesus can change everything. And I'm not giving you crazy. I'm giving you reality. What is in the glass? Water. But when that glass is touched by the command of Jesus and it's handed to the master of the banquet, what does it turn into?
Wine.
Not just wine. Let's look.
The best wine they ever had.
The best wine they ever had. It went from screw to serious cork. It's wine from
Jesus.
So it would be wine from. You got wines from California, you got wines from France, you got wines from Germany, and you got wine from heaven. Where's this one coming from?
Heaven.
Did they sell any of that down to Minute Mart wine from heaven? We're not allowed to sell wine in our Minute Marts, are we? That's in other states. Crack me up. I was in one state out in the country. They had a full liquor store. Bologna sandwich and whiskey all in the same place. Crazy. Yeah. Get you bologna cheese and a pint, all in the same location. That's awesome for drunks. They don't have to drive. Check this out. Look at here. He touches and the wine of God begins to hit the banquet. It begins to hit the celebration. Now, church, are you here? And that's what we really are. We are the celebration. We are the result of God's grace. We are the new wine of the world. And wherever we're invited to, we ought to be the illustration of God's new hope. That's who we are. That's who we've been made to be. And it's amazing. I just want to end on this. Guess what happened? The master of ceremony, he gets all twisted up because I just want to show you something. Jesus broke the tradition. Anybody excited that Jesus will break our tradition? Because the tradition was this. You bring out the good stuff first and the cheap stuff last. Because after you've had the good stuff, you can't taste the cheap stuff. Now, apparently you're supposed to be able to do that with grape juice. But it does work that way in wine, okay? You bring out the good stuff and then you bring out what? The cheap stuff later on. Because nobody cares. Just cheap. You know what happened here? When Jesus made a wine from heaven, the cheap stuff came out first, and the best stuff came from Jesus. Now y'all hear what he's saying? I am the new celebration. I am the wedding. I am the King. I am the Lord. I am your everything. This passage has never been about wine. It's been about the wine of heaven. And it tells us that our tradition will never measure up to God's great hope. And it tells us this, when we're out of wine, Jesus is in. When we're empty, he will supply. And he tells us to go and do whatever he tells us to do, even when it doesn't make what? Sense. So I want you to think for a moment. Just let the Lord speak to you. What are some things God's told you to do that don't make sense? Well, go and do them, no matter what anybody else says. Because guess what? The best, it comes when Jesus touches it. Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best to now. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You know, we are to reveal God's glory, God's work to the world, even when it doesn't make sense. The gospel doesn't make sense. Jesus is willing to forgive a sinner like me. I've messed up. I've not done everything I was supposed to do in life. Any of y'all like that? How many of y'all have messed up? You probably broke one of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, me too. Any of y'all ever lied before? How many of y'all have ever lied before? Okay, cool. How many of y'all ever said something about somebody else and you didn't know if it's true or not, but you said it anyway? Yeah. How many of y'all have ever looked at somebody and thought, woo, and that wasn't your wife or your husband? I was a teenager. Blows me away. You don't say images are porn. I can still see the blonde on that Mercury Cougar to this day in my mind. And they ain't made a Mercury Cougar in 2 decades. You remember her, Joseph? Yeah. Did you hear him? I do. I didn't even like cougars till she laid up over the hood. You know what I mean? That's why she was there. Come on, that's what they do. We've sinned against God, and guess what God says? That will not lead to a celebration. I will. That's pretty neat, isn't it? So how many of y'all need to let Jesus change your life into his wine? You say, Lord, I'm bringing water. He says, I'm new wine. Lord, I'm bringing no hope. He says, I am your hope. Lord, I'm not very loving. He says, you know what? I'm all loving. He said, well, Lord, I don't know what to do. And Jesus says, you know what? I do. Let's just come to Jesus. Amen. I'm done today. Did y'all get this today? We got to go do whatever he tells us. Now, come on. We get a great week. We get to go to school tomorrow. How many of y'all glad to get to go to school tomorrow? Come on, kids. You get to go to school tomorrow. No. You wouldn't be loving like that if you lived in an Asian country and they done cut you off and you ain't going to high school, but you're going to broom school. You'd be very thankful to be able to learn algebra. You see, we got a lot of things going on in this country. We got a lot of people talking about how bad it is, and we got very few people talking about how good it is. You get to go to school here. We got teachers who are going to teach kids. You got hope here. Don't let all these hopeless prophets telling you there ain't no hope here. You get to go to school. You get a shot at it. Is everybody going to make it? No. Because guess what some people are going to do? They're going to look at a water jar and never pick it up. They're going to spend their whole life analyzing how water can become wine. They're going to sit there and stare at what they can't explain. There are going to be a few people that just go do what he says. And when you do what he says, everything changes. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, we're all sinners. All of us, not some of us. How many of us? All of us. That means you are included. And you can look around the room and say, well, I ain't done what so-and-so's done. They hadn't done what you've done either. But guess what? We've all done something. And we all need to be saved. Jesus said so. And so, you know what? We need to quit judging each other and start speaking hope into each other. What if we did that? I think we ought to just try it for 6 months in the church, see how it works. We've protested and petitioned everything. We ought to just proclaim Jesus and see what happens. We ought to just carry the water up to the world and say, here's the water Jesus gave us. And when they reach down, they'll pick up the new wine. Today, some of you need to say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned against you. I know it, and I want to be connected to you. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Nathan, will he come into your life? Yeah. No matter what anybody else says. All right? You were baptized, right, Nathan? Absolutely. I knew you were. They said you weren't supposed to be, right? You're not supposed to. You weren't supposed to do half the stuff you've done, according to the no hope people. But it
was the coldest water I've ever been in.
It was the coldest water you've ever been in. Yeah. Yeah. It was the Lord preparing you for your PhD work at your baptism. And so, yeah, the Lord prepares us. Watch this. God speaks into our life. God gives us a new life. Don't tell me what you can't do. Don't tell me what can't happen to you. Don't tell me your impossibilities. Tell me what God might do in you. Some of you today have been brought here for this one reason. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Some of you are going to look at the water instead of the water maker. Some of you are going to stare at the taste of the wine instead of the wine maker. Here's what I'm trying to tell you today. The one who made you wants to forgive you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. That'll change you forever, no matter where you're from. You know what I love about seeing those two babies, Isaac and Harrison? Here's two big old boys coming into the world. Guess who they gonna meet? Jesus, and he'll change everything in their reality. I'm glad to know that we have a good life now and a better life later. Make sense? But the best life I have now is in Jesus. Does that make sense? And it only gets what? I mean, I'm telling y'all the truth. The reason it's wine, if you know anything about wine, I've studied a little bit about wine, Earl, because the Bible talks a lot about wine. So I got studying about wine. Wine gets better as it ages. So should we. Which is, your marriage ought to get better with age. It ought to be like a fine wine. One day you ought to be like Earl and Cindy. They don't even have to talk to each other. They so know what each other expects, they can sink into each other's head. Shoot thoughts back and forth. Because, I bet you all say the same thing at the same time. Yeah, sometimes that two became want. You're in agreement. Not on all things, Earl, on some things. It never becomes all things until Jesus. Hey, listen, marriage, hang in there. Let it get better. Children, how many of y'all need to stay with your children? It's good to stay with your children. Even when they aggravate, keep them, okay? How many of y'all get rid of your kids when they aggravate you? I don't. I mean, I got rid of my kid 2 days after having it. They aggravate us, but we stay with them, don't we? And God does great things with them. And you pray for that child. Don't ever give up on any single child, because guess what? It may look like water right now, but God's got wine in store later. So hang in there. For you wives, hang in there. For you husbands, hang in there. For you kids, hang in there. Hang in there. Because what looks like it is over may be just beginning with the touch of Jesus. That's what it means for the water to become the wine. Jesus works the impossible, doesn't he? We're in need, isn't it? And by the way, he is our celebration. So let him be. Amen? I'm finished. Y'all cool? We got some people who need to be saved today. If you have not been baptized, I want you to know that we're going to be having baptisms at Godstock. Jamie's going to talk about this next week. You know what? We're praying as a staff. Please join with us. I'd love to see over 100 baptisms at Godstock. We've never seen that. We'd love to see God do that. Some of y'all going, well, Pastor Steve, that can't happen. Really, it was 3,000 on the opening day of the church. And the numbers have gone downhill ever since. You know why? Because we try to make our own wine. I'm asking God to save you. I can't save anybody in here. If I could save you, I'd save every one of you. Some of you knuckleheaded buddies of mine, I'd drag you up here to the altar and body slam you so you might get Christ. But guess what? It don't work that way. You got to make the decision. If it worked that way, I'd be wore out every Sunday. You must decide, is Jesus Christ for real? One day you will know. I'd rather go ahead and receive him now so that when he comes later, we're in good relation. Amen? I've just used some common sense. It's still valuable. Some of you say, well, I'll tell you what, Pastor Steve, now, by gosh, I'm as good as anybody in this room. Really? You think that's a brilliant statement? Have you looked around the room? That don't take a whole lot of effort. I mean, if you're looking at me going, well, I live a better life than the pastor, I've not said some of the things he said, I guarantee you haven't. I have a bad mouth at times, but I have a better mouth than I did 20 years ago. I'm not saying it's totally cured, but I'm saying it's better. I remember when I started coaching football again, Elizabeth looked at me and she said, hey, you better listen to me. I said, yes, ma'am. I wanted to go, woman, why do you involve me? But I didn't say that. She said, when you was a football player, you used to be a football player that loved Jesus Christ. And she said, they'd get it, you know, they didn't flinch too bad with some of the color you have in your language. She said, now you a pastor that's going to coach, you better watch that big mouth of yours. I said, honey, in football, there's only some way to say some things. She said, well, you better ask God to show you some different ways. Yes, ma'am. You know what I'm saying? We got to work on stuff, man. It got to be real. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect either. We can spend all of our lives pointing out our imperfections, or we can go carry the water and let Jesus recreate us. I'm for plan B. So any of you who need Christ in your life, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins. Any of y'all want to be baptized, man, we'll start pushing them toward Godstock. Be a great time to be baptized. That's a beautiful place to be baptized, at the lake, outside. You know, it's kind of Jerusalem-like. Just out there in the open water, the breeze, or next Sunday, or whenever you want to do it. Let's be obedient to that. I am very serious about that. I want you to know that this is serious. This is serious business. I'm asking you all to invite as many of your friends that don't know Jesus to hear about Jesus as possible. I don't care if they come here, get them to a church that's preaching Jesus. I want you to know, and you better listen to your pastor, there'll be a day that what we're doing right now will be very risky in the United States of America. There'll be a day for you to come into this house of worship, it could cost you your life. I'll still be here. I know how to shoot weaponry real well. So I'll shoot and preach. We'll let Jesus sort them out. But right now, we got the freedom to do what? What freedom we got to do? Worship. And we've taken that for granted like that ain't no big deal. 53-plus countries cannot mention the name of Jesus on this globe. Now, for me, if God's not real, why has he got to be outlawed? You know, Gene Burke, I never figured this out from the atheists, my atheist friends. If God doesn't exist, and I believe in a big myth, and it really doesn't make any difference, and we were all created by some metaphoric happening, then what's the big deal if I pray? I don't see him shutting down Mickey Mouse or Goofy or Donald Duck. Because deep down inside, he is the one who changes the water to wine. Amen. Let's stand together. Y'all are beautiful. Let's open this altar up. Let's ask God to bless. Lord Jesus, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will draw, Lord, right now, those who need to be saved. Just let them know that you love them. Right now, Lord, touch them. Communicate, God, in such a way that they would understand that you want to save them. Now, if that's you and the Holy Spirit's impressed upon you, only Jesus can save you, tell him right now, Lord Jesus, I hear you. I am a sinner. I need to repent. That means you're sorry. You don't want to stay where you are. You want God to make you new. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Right now, he'll do that if you ask him. Ask and you will receive. Maybe today you've been following Jesus. You prayed that prayer a few weeks ago, a few months ago, but you haven't taken that step to baptism. And God says, you know what? Be obedient. Be obedient in that. Some of you were baptized when you were a baby. I honor that. Other than this, you didn't make that decision. Mom and daddy made that decision for you. And I think you ought to honor your mom and daddy. You ought to honor the God who made you. And you make that decision as a conscious adult. You tell your mom and daddy, I want to thank you for believing God would save me. Now I'm going to confirm it in an adult baptism, confirming God has saved me. I've made that decision. Parents can't save you. It's a personal decision. Maybe today you need to come and say, Lord, I have lost my ability to celebrate. I have just gotten in on what's not happening. And Lord, today I want to change my mind as a follower of Jesus and bring me into your happening and see what happens to your life. I bet it'll be amazing. Amen. Well, y'all are more than lovely, and God is more than willing to save, to challenge, to heal, to bring newness into our life. And so I just pray that you let him do it right now. Amen. If you've never received Jesus, never been baptized, you come talk to the pastors right now, because they want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ can save you and love you, and he'll stay with you. Church, the altar's open. You can freely come and pray. You can freely come and ask for healing. Nobody's going to punish you. But I'm telling you, there'll be a day this freedom won't be available. So I would sure enjoy it right now. There'll be that day.